Hush up!
If she takes everyone to the basement because there's impending doom.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you have to leave, right?
I'll stay here and just risk it.
And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz, and I'm here with my partner, Jeremy Bruin.
He's FF Blitz. I'm at Dynasty Madman. Welcome to another wild week, Dynasty Trades HQ.
So we were going to talk about all this free agency stuff. That's the wild week. But wait, you're telling me that it's possible that in any moment your wife could come tell you there's a tornado and you have to go. Where would you go? Where's the warning?
Our basement. Yeah.
I live in South Florida. We don't have basements. So
yeah, you'd be in trouble.
But I thought you record your show from your basement.
No, not anymore.
Oh, at your new house, you're not in the basement anymore?
Yeah, I'm in the office on the main floor, but like it's a tornado watch. We had actual tornadoes come through our area. I don't know, like remember in the HQ crew thread, you were talking about it. People were talking about tornadoes. We had some touchdown, you know, like an F2 near us that, you know, did some damage to homes. But like this is just a watch so far, so nobody gets excited until they say tornado warning, meaning that it's probable, right? So my wife will get us all woken up and taken to the basement, and the cats and the dogs, and I'm just like, let me sleep. I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. The odds are very low. Just leave me be. Let me sleep.
But wait a second. We're in the middle of doing a show, so you're not saying let me keep recording. You're saying let me sleep. Is that what's going to happen? You're going to sleep during this show?
No, for this purpose, unless glass shards from the windows in my office come through my face, I'm just going to stay right here. I don't care.
Speaking of tornadoes.
Oh, shit.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, man? The Cyclone Matt Walker's here.
We didn't get to introduce him or anything. He just came popping in and started talking. You don't have tornadoes, do you, Matt?
No, I live in a civilized part of the country.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
Philadelphia is civilized.
Oh, man. So wait, I get hurricanes. He gets tornadoes. What does Philly get?
Championships.
Random act of violence.
Priest Foles.
Yeah, but that was kind of like a softball. Like he gets to say championships and Saquon Barkley, which that works great because we were going to be talking about all the free agency stuff. So as an Eagles fan, how happy were you with that signing?
I was super excited about it. Check my Twitter. I didn't think for a second it was happening. It's just not what Howie does. Doesn't spend big at the running back position, but you know, with the salary cap going up, he had cash burning a hole in his pocket. So
yes,
went out and said, let me get, you know, a difference maker at the running back position. And, you know, to give what, $13 million a year to Saquon Barkley when I'm pretty Darnell Mooney's getting paid the same by the Atlanta Falcons.
I
think it's a no brainer. Yes. Yeah, I mean, we assume he's going to miss a couple games because that's what running backs do. But, you know, for the value, you know, a 2-year deal pretty much for him. Yeah, that's an exciting signing, you know, to kind of kick off this
another
legal tampering period.
Coming.
Listen, it's championship or bust now in Philadelphia. So we're going to stay in that window.
For your fantasy championships, though, do you have Saquon on any of your teams?
Yeah, Saquon Barkley, I have one share of Saquon. I actually traded for him last year in a league where I was trying to win the championship. Fell short because of Brock Purdy when he decided to throw four interceptions and totally, you know, the bed against the Baltimore Ravens. But I gave up what ended up being a late first-round pick. I traded future first and another player. So it was like I ended up giving up the 110 or 111 for Saquon, and now that he's extended for 2 years, it's no brainer for me. I'll probably try and squeeze 1 year out of him and flip him for more than that 110, 111 going into 2025.
What about you, Jeremy?
I don't have any shares of Saquon Barkley, I'm pretty sure. None, yeah. I've moved on from him long ago, whatever shares I had.
Yeah.
You guys ever have those players where you just never have them?
Yeah.
Like, there's just those guys, like, that somehow you're never in a position to draft, like, Saquon was a clear 101 in that rookie draft. And if you just weren't that bad team, it's like Bijan a year ago, like some guys that you just might never own in fantasy, unless the kind of stars a lot.
Saquon is one of those guys. Yeah. And then, you know, a little too pricey to acquire and then didn't want to anymore. And I was always of the belief that he was a better pass catcher than, you know, interior runner. I mean, I think that's true. I think that's basically a fact. You know, he has gotten better in that regard. And, You know, you want to see the volume. He's certainly a talented guy, but I just, yeah, I never had a chance to, and then I didn't want to. But there are a lot of players like that. Joe Mixon's another one, you know, no, maybe a share of that guy ever.
For me, you know, we've talked about it before. There, a lot of times I like to get as many of the same player on all my teams. So if I have like the same guys on like all my teams, there's plenty of guys that I don't have any shares of, you know.
Mike's and, diversification idea is to have quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. But only the same dudes that he likes across the board, which is kind of cool, especially if they hit. And you have
it's interesting, right?
On every roster, for instance.
Yeah, if you're that – You know, have that much belief in your process, then why diversify?
I like it. Right? And then also I don't have a lot of first round picks a lot of times because I trade them away. So a lot of those guys that are the 101s, I don't get. And it's funny when you mentioned Bijan Robinson, remember Jeremy, we've talked about it on the show a few times. I sold a bunch of players in HQ3 to, and I had the 101 and or 102, and it all worked out. I got Bijan, but I traded him like going into the season. Do you remember that, Jeremy? And I traded him. Yeah. I'm looking at it right here. 1, 2, 3. I traded him for 3 first round picks and a second round pick because my team was still in bad shape. And now the draft order just came out for that league for this year, and I have 4 first round picks in that draft.
I do that trade for, you know, to get a quarterback, but not Bijan.
Yeah, so
I wouldn't take him 101 either.
Yeah,
I'm not paying that price.
Well, it was great. So I got all those picks, and it's funny. We were talking earlier, and Jeremy and I in that league. Jeremy and I have 7 of the top 12 picks in that draft, and then Jeremy has like 5 of the second round. So
have 2 of the best teams in that league, man.
We're gonna have
you guys are stockpiling. I mean, what's this like? HQ gets to pick first before you know, the rest of the guys in the league.
It just ended up that way, yeah, with all the trades. And I tried to get Jeremy's first round pick. Or no, I tried to get I had Jeremy's first round pick. There was I don't remember what happened, but I have the 4, 5, and 6. Way,
like a smart guy.
But either way, when you say that about the top guys, yeah, a lot of times I don't have those 101, but then I get those guys later, you know, a couple years later or whatever to trade for them. There's a lot of guys. The things happened over the last couple of days. Obviously, we just talked to you, Matt, about Saquon Barkley. And then Jeremy, you know, we talked last week going into the Patreon only show. We were talking about some of the players we were looking forward to see where they sign and everything. Did any of the ones that you wanted to see go somewhere? Did anybody land somewhere you were happy about? Or actually, what about your team? We talked to Matt about the Eagles. What about the Browns? Did they do anything?
The Browns did, you know, they did. They did something. And there's been mixed reviews on them, and you know, getting Jerry Jeudy from the Broncos. And I know, you know, there's free agency, there's trading. So a couple of things that happened that Jerry Jeudy to the Browns, and I, you know, I'm still high on Jerry Jeudy. I think he's better than he's performed, and the Broncos have problems, like, I don't know, tapping into talent there. But I think that's a good get for the Browns. I was happy to see that. It didn't disappoint me. I was surprised by some of the trades that happened, to be honest. And I know we're supposed to be talking about free agency, and that was the excitement. But along with free agency, trades – like Sam Howell, is he now a Seahawk? Did that happen? I like Sam Howell. You guys know that. And Matt, I think, may like Sam Howell, not as much as I do. But like I feel like that guy's a start, you know, starter caliber quarterback, and the Seahawks got him. And I was a little surprised by that because I don't know. I don't talk to Washington's executive staff.
You don't really
figure out what they're thinking. So what I'm wondering what they're gonna do. So it's just like every little chip, every little domino. Or card that's thrown out is like, you know, more intrigue for what is going to happen downstream of that. Like, what's the next move? What's the next move? And it is like dominoes because it's just kind of like you watch all this stuff happen and you have to like take it in and you don't want to wait. You don't want to wait. You want to trade for guys and trade players away, strike when the iron's hot, so to speak. But it's tough. There's just so many things that every move like that creates intrigue. And like, so what do you do? You know, I still want Sam Howell, right? Like, he's going to start in Seattle, no? Or what are they going to do? Like, who's got the picks, right? Washington, what are you doing? Like, everybody's – it's like the quarterback carousel. Justin Fields, oh, my God, he sucks now. That's the stuff that the trades are what really affect the draft. These free agents, filling in on these teams, backfilling who's left, and it contributes to what's going on in the draft. It's like everything's connected, man, like the butterfly effect. And I don't know how to take it sometimes.
Listen, I'm with you on Sam Howell. He was my quarterback too in that class, shitty class, nonetheless. But it was only Pickett because he got the first round capital, and then Howell was the one I wanted second. Mm-hmm. 4,000 yard season, you know, crappy Washington offense and offensive line. Didn't do him any favors. I don't think Geno Smith is insurmountable, you know, with the new leadership and all in Seattle. So, yeah, I think that worked out pretty well for Sam Howell because they're clearly drafting a quarterback in Washington. So he had already lost his starting job there. They brought in Mariota to tutor whoever it ends up being, May or Daniels. So let him go somewhere else. And I think Seattle's a great landing spot for him.
Better team, right? You know. Going to have a new coach, better team than Washington. I mean, all around, probably. The talent that they have there for him to plug himself into that offense is pretty great. Yeah.
I'm excited. Listen, they extended Lockett. They have DK Metcalf. They have Jackson Smith and Jigba there. They brought Noah Fant back. They got some tremendous pass catchers.
It's kind of funny if say you're not actually like on top of things, like if you're not paying attention to what happened over the last 2 days, you could actually like look at your rosters and think that I have this great player without knowing that so many different domino pieces fell and changed those players. Because one of the big quarterback signings things that happened, you mentioned it earlier, Jeremy, when we were talking, but you know, with Kirk Cousins going from Minnesota to Atlanta, then you've got the package of players in Minnesota that people perceive now have dropped, and you've got the package of players in Atlanta that are perceived now to be better. And just in that one move, it changes like 8 players.
Yeah, significantly, and a lot of assets, right? I think everyone's been waiting for the Atlanta players to happen. We're 3 years in on Pitts, we're 2 years in on London, we're a full year in already on Bijan. And now Kirk Cousins is just going to fix all that because they have new coaching staff and they bring in a competent quarterback, which I do think he will, so long as that Achilles holds up. I also think sneakily the Darnell Mooney side is pretty good because their wide receiver room was trash outside of Drake London.
Yeah, outside of London. You know,
yeah, counter to those Vikings, you're right. I mean, the fact sounds like they're going to roll into the season with Sam Darnold and hopefully J.J. McCarthy, I would assume, by hook or by crook, they're going to get up there and get him. But a placeholder of Sam Darnold, who, you know, has had a few glimmers of competency in the NFL, but with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison,
a few,
you know,
TJ
Hockenson. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Jones now. I mean, yeah, there's a volatility in the value of those two teams given those moves. It's a very apt statement.
I know that obviously the diehard people that play Dynasty are all following it. But, you know, it seems that there's been some times lately, especially with some of the people that we all talk to, that not everybody is right on top of things. And you would think that when something like this week happens, you would want to watch stuff. But like, even you, when you were discussing before that the Sam Howell thing, that happened today, right? And so when we were getting ready for the show, you're like, oh, wait, that happened. So a lot of times it could happen within the moment. So I would think, especially over the next couple of days, if you get trade offers from somebody, you should definitely look right away to see if either side of that offer, if anything has happened one way or the other to either the player or to their team.
No, man.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, I moved Mixon right before the whole Zach Moss news and him moving. I feel a little indifferent about it now because I think he landed in a great spot with the Texans, but he's still only a 1 year rental for them. So I got a mid second round pick for him. And at a certain point, you just got to churn those old running back assets. And a year from now, I mean, he might be droppable.
I like that you got something out of him. I mean, honestly, his pass catching ability, but he's always kind of been like always leaving you wanting more. And I know he had some success in fantasy, and people that defend him or, you know, like Joe Mixon were like, well, he did better than you think. And, you know, he did, but
compiler.
It's not sustainable thing with him. He's a pass catcher and, you know, a supreme athlete, but it just never really turned into what, you know, you'd hope it could have been. And I'm with you. Like these guys don't stay at that position long. That's the most exciting position of the offseason. All the, all the movement and all the running backs that were available. There's a lot to talk about there. Before we have fun with that, let's have some not so much fun with Russell Wilson. Do you care? That team's usually successful regardless, unless they have a terrible quarterback. They're usually successful fantasy wise, but isn't that dude cooked? Isn't Russ cooked? or does he have more to give? Was it a Denver problem? I mean, what do you think?
I think it's probably both, to be honest with you. I think a lot of his warts were hidden in Seattle over the years. That's why they were willing to move on from him, still having a competitive team, and hit reset with Geno Smith so quickly, because especially they didn't want to pay that contract. And then it seems like Denver learned real quick that he wasn't worth the money that they gave him. And Sean Payton looked like he started to try to hide him in those games before eventually benching him. I think he's better than Pickett, but that's not saying much. Right. So he's going to help the offense. You know, I'm sure they'll be competent, but it's also going to be interesting to see what he does in the AFC North. That's a very black and blue division. And, he's not a spring chicken anymore. So he's going to take some shots this year. It should be good for George Pickens. You know, Russ still can throw the deep ball, but he struggles in the middle of the field. They got rid of Deontay Johnson because he probably wouldn't have seen any targets over a short middle of the field. And I don't know what it means for Freiermuth, but they got some work to do.
Love Freiermuth, man. It's all been a shame. Like, there, I think he's really good. Last year was kind of an abomination a bit. I don't really want or care that much about Russ. That's my division, right? And I think the Browns defensive front seven are going to terrorize again. And I think, you're right about Russ. He's no spring chicken.
It's interesting, too, because a lot of this stuff is first impression. It just happened in this instant, like, oh, what's going to happen here or there? It could be really interesting over the next maybe couple of weeks to just look at some of the teams and some of the positions that did change based on what happened. Oh, what, Jeremy?
Tornado sirens. I'm serious. My wife is rounding up.
Are you serious?
To go to the basement. Yeah, I'm not going to go, but she's going to get the kids and the dogs. So I was going to unplug my microphone so you could hear the sirens in the background, but I don't know if it'll pick it up.
How does that work? Wait, are there sirens out in the world? Like, you hear your neighborhoods have a siren?
Yeah. They have an emergency broadcast system, you know, across the counties where you can actually hear it from a great distance. And we're usually close to one where we've lived.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, we've always been close to one where we live in. So you hear it that certain siren, and unless it's Wednesday at noon when they test the system, you know, every Wednesday at noon they test it. Unless it's that time, you know, something's up. Even if you haven't been on your phone, and you know, when you hear that, you know, there's something close, and it's not just a watch; it's a warning. They think they've seen Twister. Basically, they think they've seen the type of thunderstorm that will generate the cyclone action. So.
Well, do you need to go? I mean,
I'm going to stay on here because it'll be fun if something happens to me. You have good material. I may not be here. Good show stuff. You know?
We'll go viral.
I wasn't going to say it, but you got to stay on. You
know. Oh, my God.
You'll probably get like at least 20 more downloads on that one.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Well, then, Matt, let me ask you that because I was kind of asking Jeremy before, but what was your favorite signing was Saquon your favorite just because it's Philly, or was there a better fantasy signing that you like?
It's probably Saquon, all things being equal. I'm also biased. So, I mean, I'll go with the most obvious signing, you know, of this legal tampering period is when Derrick Henry ended up with the Baltimore Ravens. I still think Henry has some left in the tank. And not too long ago, a 30-year-old Mark Ingram actually put up like an RB1 season next to Lamar Jackson in Baltimore as well. I just think there's so much opportunity with a mobile quarterback, and they are still a run-based offense that, you know, I said it on the 40 recently we were discussing free agency, and I think it's well within the realm of possibility that Derrick Henry scores 20 touchdowns this year.
Wow.
Dude, yeah. I mean, Derrick Henry still got it enough for, you know, and to have as an asset in Dynasty. I love the move for him. I think that's the perfect spot for him.
And I read something that the Dallas Cowboys never even called him. That Derrick Henry self-reported saying he lives 18 minutes away from the star.
And they never called him.
A call from the Dallas Cowboys even inquire about him.
So Jeremy had to go away for a second. Oh, he's coming back. All right, cool.
He just had to turn his lights off.
Oh, is it?
I just wanted to see outside better in case I start seeing things flying around.
Oh my god! It's
a lot louder. I turned my mic, my headphones down, so I can get to the basement in time. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. I think it's probably just going to be, you know. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, you know what? There's one kind of side effect with the Derrick Henry one that I was going to ask later in the program, but I guess I'll ask you right now. You know, with Derrick Henry going, there's that domino effect that we were just talking about earlier. Like, people were happy about Tajay Spears. They're like, oh, this is great. You know, Derrick Henry's going to go, Tajay Spears. And then, boom, they turn around and then they sign Tony Pollard, speaking of Dallas. So it's like there's that little instance where you think you've got something and then all of a sudden you lose it again, you know? And so with Tony Pollard going there, when you mentioned Dallas, so what's going on over in Dallas now? If they didn't even ask Derrick Henry, like you said.
Yeah, as of yesterday, I saw that their only free agent signing was their long snapper. Legitimately, that was the only thing that Dallas had done.
I know, right?
Thus far, was bringing back their long snapper because they're in cap hell.
Is that what it is?
With Dak Prescott and everything else. I mean, Tony Pollard thing, it's really interesting. You know, there was a lot of this too, that he's a Tennessee kid. He was University of Memphis. He ended up, we wanted to go back home. Now, Tennessee is also a tax-free state, so Dallas. So he's kind of been living in a good, you know, financial situation the last couple of years. But
right.
I don't see Pollard or Tajay Spears as like the 1A in that offense. I think it's going to be just real week to week as to, you know, who gets the production with them, because I don't see either of them as really 15 carry guys.
Right.
Know? But does Tennessee intend to really just split that right down the middle and then be like 10 plus carries, four plus targets type each, because that's probably where they're both best utilized. Tajay Spears isn't a starting running back in the NFL, in my opinion. He's an exciting running back. You know, I think he's great in a committee, but I never thought he was going to be, you know, this bell cow running back a la Derrick Henry, just because he was drafted behind him last year.
So
they were going to bring someone in.
Yeah, you don't think Spears could be, you know, like a 15-plus carry guy and a real dynasty asset, more of a – I don't want to say bell cow because that's, like you said, probably not. But you don't think he could be, you know, a star in that offense, greater than maybe the sum of parts on paper? And I'm just asking because as a fan of Spears and I don't disagree with you, but do you think there's a chance he could be carry guy?
Let me ask you this. Think you can handle 255 carries in the NFL?
Probably not, man. I mean,
because that's 15 carries a game over the season. Yeah. I mean, just math just doesn't check out with him. You know, I would be surprised if he logs 200 carries.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
I think they're going to want to throw the ball a lot more than they did in previous years with Vrabel, now that Brian Callahan's there. So the entire offense is going to change, and they're both good pass catchers. So I think
that's what
them. In this PPR world, but no, I don't see either of them averaging 15 carries. You know,
but touches with the PPR, you know, both could be sustainably, you know, high production backs in a high pass volume offense like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I like them both. To be honest with you, I'd want exposure to both of them. But you know, I have Tajay Spears in a couple of places. I wasn't under the delusion that they weren't going to do something.
Sure,
Yeah. Julius Chestnut is like the only other running back on the roster that could come to mind. Like, they're going to sink high capital into a running back. You know, high capital meaning like late day two, which is still one of these kind of big stud type running backs that they could have brought in to still put right in front of Tajay Spears and leave him as a change of pace. Or they go the other route and they pay a Tony Pollard, really muddy the waters because they have similar type skill sets.
And, you know, and it's funny too, because with all these guys, it seems like every year it's shrinking more and more and more that there really is any bell cow running backs anyways. A lot of these teams, even when they do have a star, they're still rotating people in and out. And some teams are even rotating three people in and out. So it's way harder for us as fantasy and dynasty players even to count on those kind of guys anyways. But when somebody is like all alone, like you were just saying, you know, before with Dallas, who's the starting running back in Dallas right now?
Deuce Vaughn.
Okay. That's ridiculous.
So,
honestly, I think that's what it is.
So it's just kind of funny. You just never know. But again, that goes back to me saying where you're worrying about something right now, what, 4, 5, 6 months before we even play a game. So much is going to change. Sure,
some running backs. So, you know, a lot still in play out there. But, yeah, they've got to get a back. There's no doubt. Or two or three.
I would love to see him bring Rico Dowdle back. He was a guy I was pretty high on coming out of South Carolina.
I remember that.
Pretty good in spot starts last year. I think he's an unrestricted free agent for them, but haven't heard his name bubble up at all. So they may just be waiting to bring him back on a cheap deal. And then they'll draft someone else, and then someone will get cut. Yeah. You know, that'll end up in Dallas too. But maybe they're finally stopping. They're doing the opposite of what it seems like the rest of the league is now. They're paying Zeke a ton of money, and then they were willing to franchise Tony Pollard and give him $10 million a year. Now they're like, all right, we can't spend money on running backs right now. The rest of the league's like $13 million a year for this running back, and this one, Dallas is like, yeah, we'll give you 1.3. Yeah, if you want to come, play for the Dallas Cowboys.
It must be so hard. It must be so hard for those guys. So then, Jeremy, who's the biggest loser then?
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know who. I'm not sure. Biggest loser free agent that got signed. I mean, they all won. The guys that got signed. The team that lost. Yeah, in free agency.
I guess you're right, because with free agency, with the people that are signing, they're winning because they're signing somewhere. So it would have to be like an opposite thing of not who got signed, but how their team is hurt actually from their players. Like we already mentioned that Minnesota, their whole pass offense package kind of goes down losing Kirk Cousins.
That backfired on them. I don't know. I'm going to punt that one. I'm going to let Matt answer that one. I don't know who I think the biggest losers are. I mean, everybody's got to sign some players here, draft them, you know, and backfill. The quarterback movement's big. I think the Chicago Bears are losers. Like, I think they're total losers the way they manage their team. Justin Fields, like, guy worrying about losing his job, probably is, right? Everybody expects it. Where's he going to go? The Raiders, I don't know. Wherever he goes, though, it'll be better than where he was. That's for sure, because the Bears suck.
Listen, and staying right on the Bears, because that's who I was going with. To me, DeAndre Swift was a big loser. I don't really understand the contract or the landing spot. And if Chicago, again, you see all these teams that just had a ton of cap, you know, because the cap jumped so much that they're like, well, we got to spend it.
Yeah.
I personally think Khalil Herbert is a better running back than DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
If he could stay healthy, you know, I've seen enough of DeAndre Swift. He's a good, you know, to be back. Like he shouldn't even be the 1B on a team. And then they drafted Roschon, and by all accounts, they like Roschon in Chicago too. So why are you giving $8 million a year to DeAndre Swift?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You saw for what, 4 or 5 years in division with the Detroit Lions fail to stay on the field or make a tangible impact to the point where they just wanted to get rid of him. And then the Eagles did the same, one and done with him. And now he's moving to Chicago. Dynasty value, I think, takes a hit. I mean, he's got some stability because he's guaranteed like 2 years there. But I just like the other players there, you know, and I think that it's muddy enough that it's not even just one other guy. I think it's really three guys that are going to be touching the ball in Chicago. So I think Swift is a big loser. And then another one, to me, hurts my heart, is Antonio Gibson. I'm a truther of Antonio Gibson. I didn't like New England. anywhere but Washington, but also New England at the end of the day, because Ramondre's still there. Right now, Bailey Zappi's their quarterback. They're going to have a rookie starting for them. It's just not going to be pretty for him. And I really wanted him to go somewhere where he was used as like a pass back plus, where they could split him out in a slot and things like that, because he was a converted wide receiver. Like, no one really used Antonio Gibson. They wanted to make him a running back, and he's just not built for that.
Yeah, if he could have gone where Mixon went, it would have been exciting.
Wait, Jeremy, would you say if he could have gone where?
If he went where Mixon went instead of Mixon, that would have been exciting.
Oh, I would have been over the moon. I would have been over the moon for him, honestly, because he's the guy that, you give him 8 or 10 carries and you just get him out in the pass game
Awesome pass catcher. And you're right. He wasn't used. I mean, you said that along. He was a wide receiver, and he can run. But like that, that's a shame that he's not. It seems like not in a position like that. I like both examples. Swift is crazy. That now that you say that, that doesn't make sense. And I agree with you. We're both big fans of Khalil Herbert. We've talked about him before. you know, several times. And it's weird because, like, are they worried about the injury? But to give $8 million to Swift, yeah, so that makes a lot of sense. And Russell Wilson, too. He's not going to win.
Yeah, and Swift, you're talking about injury. I think he's played one full season his five-year NFL career. So, injury. He's probably going to give $8 million to the guy that gets injured every year. So,
well, speaking of Mixon, though, when you said if he would have went where Mixon went, what do you think about where Mixon went? For fantasy-wise, even, do you care more now about Mixon now over there in Houston?
I definitely think that's good for C.J. Stroud. You know, I think that's because, you know, he's so great at passing the football, and that's what Mixon gives you, you know, a good outlet, a good pass catching back. So I think that could be fantasy, you know, gold. I'm just not a big Mixon fan, so I'm with Walker. I think, you know, maybe that's one and done kind of thing, and not, you know, we'll see how it goes this year, but I don't know if it could be better than he had it in Cincinnati. Like, they, you know, he had every opportunity, you know, and he couldn't, you know, he just didn't seem like he was ever the best running back there, no matter what he did. Seriously. You know, and they lost the guy that the Cincinnati fans loved, you know, before last season. So it could be better for Mixon, honestly. That's a hell of an offense, and C.J. Stroud's a hell of a quarterback. So fantasy-wise, could work out. Not a Joe Mixon guy, though. I think there are some running backs that made out, like, on the flip side, that made out, you know, so far, right, in free agency. You know, I love Rashad White, and I think he finally turned it on. And so far, that's looking pretty your guy, Mike, that you can't get enough of Kyren Williams and people offering you crazy deals. And it was you too, Walker. We've had a lot of discussions about Kyren Williams, and you kind of, I guess, mixed feelings is how I would talk, you know, say you have a realistic view of him. But so far, that's looking pretty good for Kyren Williams himself.
Yeah, all good answers. I mean, Mixon, the funny thing with him, right, is that they were going to release him, but then Houston ended up trading for him. So they kept him under that contract. So they only have one more year left. I'm sure Mixon would have tried for a multi-year deal and hunted around. So it was very intentional what the Texans did, of saying, we'll throw you, I think it was like a seventh-round pick, that we'll take this contract. So it's truly like a one-year deal like some of these other ones. But these veterans kind of all landed soft. Like, Mixon to Houston is great. We saw what Devin Singletary did. There last year. Aaron Jones gets done dirty by Green Bay, and he lands in Minnesota, you know, like 2 hours later for like the same amount of money that he wanted to get paid by Green Bay. You know, then we already mentioned Derrick Henry. We mentioned Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard. Like, most of these veteran guys, you know, landed in pretty good places. Your Rashad White, great. He's clean so far, right? There's no one really, even though Tampa's come out and said they want someone else to take touches away, but they haven't managed to do it thus far.
James Cook and too, Kyren Williams, those guys. Yeah. So far, we'll see what happens.
And then Kyren Williams, the Rams haven't really done much of anything. You know, good on you, Mike, for being a Kyren believer. It paid dividends last year. I personally think you should get out while you can. Well, Kyren Williams, you know, my 2 cents. He's another guy who's undersized. He's been injured both seasons of his NFL career already. Missed his entire rookie season injury. Got hurt and missed multiple games last year due to injury. And you know what that LA Rams, it's the way the wind blows with Sean McVay.
Oh, yeah.
It could be CJ Anderson coming to town before you know it. And all of a sudden, you know, Cam Akers doesn't have value anymore. Or, you know, Todd Gurley, whoever it may be. I don't think Kyren's a long-term solution.
Yeah,
I think they're going to burn him out in his rookie year. So you might get one more season out of him, and then they'll be bringing someone else in.
Yeah, they don't seem to like running backs very long there, Walker. Like you just said, like you piss off McVay, and you're pretty much done.
It's funny too, because usually Jeremy knows how a lot of my teams are built. When I have some running backs, I usually have quite a few of them, so that if one goes down or one happens, I already have somebody ready to come in instead of that second, the backup guy behind that guy. I usually have a bunch of all the starters, so I'll move him out if he goes in. And Kyren was one of the ones that helped me a lot. What about Zamir White with the Raiders?
You mean he'd suck? I'm just kidding.
Listen, he's a I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. Antonio Pierce guy, clearly. I mean, he rode that kid down the stretch And I believe Pierce has already come out, you know, expressing his like excitement for Zamir White this season, because it was clear they weren't going to bring back Josh Jacobs.
Right.
So I liked the player coming out. I think, you know, he never really became what he was supposed to be in college. And I think he kind of just leveled off rather than continuing to grow as a player. So I think he's probably another guy that maybe you get a year out of him this year, because I don't think they're going to sink significant capital into the running back position this year. So his value has certainly gone up. I think that's a great guy that, you know, his situation didn't change, but a lot around him did, with Josh Jacobs. And I mean, shit, just even bringing Gardner Minshew in, who mm-hmm. I do think will be their starter unless they draft a rookie. It's not going to be an O'Connell. It'll be a more legitimate NFL offense, which just means more opportunity for the running back as well. So his situation certainly got better, because it's him and Amir Abdullah in that backfield right now. And Amir Abdullah ain't taking carries from anyone. He'll take passing down work, but Zamir White wasn't catching passes last year. So
I love the thing about Gardner Minshew too. You know, we talked last week when we did the Patreon show, Jeremy, about some of the players that could be sitting on your roster that haven't been doing anything for a year or two, and now maybe this season, based on if they go somewhere or don't go somewhere. And then you sent me a message during the week of a picture of Jameis Winston going to Cleveland, because he was one of the ones I mentioned last week that I have him on a bunch of rosters just sitting there rotting away.
But the point that you made that we agreed on is that, why are you going to get rid of him?
Right.
Why are you going to get rid of Gardner Minshew or Jameis Winston? I mean, it's a free ticket if those guys end up playing somewhere, which it happens every year. They get signed, they back up someone, and then that someone gets hurt, and then they play, and then, you know, you plug them in. And it's always more than a bye week. You end up using them more than that when they become a starter, when they get that job. So, yeah, what are you going to get for them?
Right.
What are you going to throw them in on a trade? You throw in a different position, not a quarterback. You may as well just, you know, hoard a few of those guys, the better backups, the guys that, you know, when they do come off the bench, get points. And those are two perfect candidates. I what am I going to move them for? I'm just going to hold on to them. I have enough roster spots. And then you're like, thank God they got signed. And thank God, you know, Deshaun Watson, how secure is that dude's role, right? I'm glad. I mean, now you should be happy. Jameis Winston is about this close, like, seriously, the thickness of a white towel to getting a starting job.
Yeah, fantasy superstardom. I would love to be a fly in the wall of that QB room. Deshaun Watson and Jameis Winston, they need to be on Hard Knocks. I don't care if they don't qualify, been on 7 straight years, whatever. That should be Hard Knocks. Just for the two of them. I mean, that is must-see TV. And you're right. I mean, listen, Sam Darnold's going to start a fair amount of games this year.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a guy that's like, what are you going to do? You know, you're going to hold, you know, a practice squad running back. You know, Jacoby Brissett's probably going to start some games for the Patriots this year as well. And these guys, yeah, I mean, they're better at the end of your roster than they are, you know, picking up a fourth round pick.
Yeah, and we've noticed it over the last couple of years, more so than in the past. And Jeremy and I have talked about it before, about we see some of these big-name quarterbacks go down during the season more often than we used to, kind of. And so some of these guys that if you're lucky that you have them already on your roster, you've got somebody that you can stick in there. They may not be as great as the guy that went down, but you at least have somebody that you can put in there, you know. And then you get those stories.
Yeah, Joe Flacco signed with the Colts.
Yeah,
Anthony Richardson, you know, couldn't finish a game his rookie year. Tyrod Taylor's with the Jets. I mean, are we just assuming that Aaron Rodgers a year later with his Achilles is a sure thing? These two guys are free out there, God. And they are one hit away from starting a significant amount of games in the 2020.
Get them all, and then trade them for whatever if you don't need them later. You know, second round picks are certainly more valuable than other positions. When the inevitable happens, they're more valuable than any other position.
Well, it is fun too, because that is one thing that I've, you know, when people say, what have you learned from the people that you hang out with? And, you know, I've been hanging out with Jeremy for a long time, but I think one of the things that I've learned is Jeremy.
It didn't sound like a good thing.
Jeremy always.
You sound like mixed emotions to me.
Jeremy always has, like, look at his rosters on any team. He always has, like, 10 plus quarterbacks on his team, whether they're on his active roster or his taxi squad. He always has so many quarterbacks. And that's one thing that's rubbed off on me over the time, Jeremy.
Hopefully you have at least one or two starters, because there are in some places I don't have a true starter among those 12 guys.
Yeah, there was one team last year, I think he had like 9 quarterbacks on his roster and not one of them were playing. It was pretty funny.
Listen, I played in a league where I was at least 8 deep, where I couldn't put a single starter in a quarterback spot by the end of the season. It's because you're scratching and clawing, grabbing every single guy that might be able to log a start and just hoping it lines up with your season. I used to be the guy where it's, super top heavy. I wanted my alpha quarterbacks, and then I wasn't really worrying about, backups or stuff like that. And, then you pick up an injury and your whole season goes to shit.
That happened to me 2 years ago. With my Tua, I had Tua and he was doing so great. I mean, I was like flying through, and then the injuries just kept killing me. But hey, so listen, I'm a little worried now a little bit about Jeremy as well. I know your wife has asked you to go. Let's wrap this up right now. We did have some trades and everything that I wanted to talk about, but we'll do that real quick with the Patreon show. We'll do a Patreon show before Jeremy has to go into the basement. But actually, Matt, you just showed up and we never even talked about you at the very beginning. So, thank you for showing up. And you want to tell everybody where they can find you and everything?
Yeah. Well, listen, I just feel at home.
You are.
With you guys on the HQ. So I'm just like, once they let me in here, I mean, I've listened to you backstage. We're talking about tornadoes. Cue me up. Get me in here. But now, always a pleasure to get on with you guys. At walk_FF. Fantasy 40 is the podcast with John DeBari. Guessing with you guys as much as you'll allow me to. And Jeremy and I have had some, vanity projects that we've, spun up and stay on Hurricane Tornado down pretty quickly as well over the years. So it's always good to talk to you guys.
A lot of fun, man. Always fun.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. Oh, and by the way, tell your son, I know he just had a birthday, that he's got some Beast Boy signed stuff coming to him. So,
that's awesome, man. Yeah, he's going to be geeked about that. That's awesome, man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I talked to Greg this week. So, all right. Well, listen, thanks for joining us. Check out our Patreon account. Check us out on all our social media accounts at Dynasty Trades HQ. And we're going to... I feel so bad. I see Jeremy in the dark over there. But we're going to jump on a Patreon thing real quick before Jeremy has to go. So we'll talk to you guys all next week.
Yeah, I'm still alive. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Bye.